Well, church family, praise God. Just can't tell you how much I rejoice in the opportunity to see our hearts be generous for the Lord. And so glad that we're able to see it done together. We've been spending this whole year on the theme of grace. I think it's sad that when in the public arena, when church comes up and when Christians come up, that most people spend time talking about debates and negativity. When I think the prayer that we all should be praying is, God, when people see church, can they be amazed by grace? Can the people, the Christians they know, can they be the most gracious, sacrificial people? And that doesn't mean we're soft on truth. It doesn't mean we don't confront when we have to confront, but that we would do it in such a way that people say, you know, I don't even agree with those people, but I'm just kind of amazed at the grace and the way they love me, even in the things that they're saying are wrong. And our mission for this year is off of Hebrews 12:14 that says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. I think sometimes as a church, we can be so preoccupied with schedules and events and tradition, that we forget that it's about grace. It's about the grace of Jesus Christ, that we should walk out of this room every Sunday and say, you know what? I didn't get that about how much God loved me. I didn't understand that before, or I didn't realize that my life should look like that to somebody else. God, change my heart. Make me more of who you are. We've been looking at amazing grace, and I couldn't think of a better way to talk about a gift that we get for Christmas than that amazing grace. And I was tempted as I was preparing this message to call it brilliant grace, because I just think it's, hopefully you're going to see something today by the work of the Spirit, by the Word of God, that you say, you know what, that's not just incredible, that's kind of brilliant. That's like, I never would have thought to do it that way. I never thought God should do it that way, but maybe that's the most brilliant way ever to make me understand what his love's all about. So I want to challenge you that maybe in these few moments that we share, remembering what it means that Christ came as a newborn child, maybe there's a brilliance, maybe there's an amazement that we need to open our hearts and our minds up to, and not just live dead ritual religion, not just get by on yesterday's grace, but to have an experience with it like we've never had before. We've been studying the book, the Gospel of John, the prologue, which is the disciple of John, as he talks about the Christmas story. In these verses up here, this is John's version of Christmas. He doesn't mention Mary or Joseph. He doesn't mention Bethlehem. He doesn't mention Rome. He doesn't mention a census or shepherds or wise men. He doesn't say anything earthly about Christmas. He tells the story of Christmas from heaven's point of view. So everything he says about it is just about how heaven sees it, not what they see on earth. And listen to what he says. And when we get to the underlined parts, would you speak that out when we get to that? This is John's rendition of Christmas from heaven's point of view. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, and we'll focus on this next line, he gave the right to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, your line, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. That term, grace upon grace, means this, that when you have just needed grace and when you just couldn't hope and pray for and ask for more grace, and when God somehow gives that to you and then something worse or harder happens in your life, well, there's grace for that too. His grace never runs out. There's grace upon grace. And even the very way that Jesus decided to become flesh and dwell among us is not just a gift of grace, but it's a gift of grace upon grace. John will say that he comes into this world to give us the right to become children of God. We have the right, the opportunity to know who God is, to have peace with him, and to have peace in ourselves, to learn how to have peace with others. The same one who writes the Gospel of John writes in 1 John 4:8, God is love, and anyone who loves is of God, and anyone who doesn't love, they're not of God, because God is love. You can't be God's child and not be like him. My children are like me. Caleb has my sense of humor. Kate's got some of my joy and different ways she looks like me. Rachel's kind of got my pastor's heart. Melody's got my competitiveness, and I'm their father. And so as they've grown in me, whether by just through natural childbirth or through adoption, they've all become like me, because that's children of a parent. That's what happens. And when we become children of God, we're supposed to become like him. And who is he? He's love. Now, that sounds like a simple idea. Some people in this room, you've been studying God's love for decades. Some of you, you go to a Christian school, which automatically means you're supposed to know how to love. And yet the truth is, none of us in this room by ourselves know how to love at all. And when we get the right to love, when we get the right to become like him in love, we still need to learn how to be like him in love. When I got my driver's license, all of a sudden I had this right. I had this ability to drive places that I knew I had been there. I'd been to the movie theater. I'd been to the mall. I'd been to that restaurant. But when I got the right to actually drive there myself, I had no clue how to get there. I had been there 1,000 times, but I had always been in the back seat while someone else took me there. I had always passively followed what someone else did for me. You and I have the ability to take the love of God and the right to be like him and passively get in the back seat and have no idea how to get there. Our parents have taken us there, and we've had moments that we've been with them, and it's been amazing. But do we know how to get there? No. Sometimes our church has gotten there, and we've been part of a service, and it's been amazing, and we've been there. We felt the greatness of God. Do we know how to get there if we're not in church by ourselves? No. Why? Because just like when I was a teenager who had always learned, has always been taken someplace by somebody else, in our spiritual lives, we can be in the back seat, always passively following someone else taking us to where we need to go. We say, oh yeah, love, I've been there. Oh, Bible, yeah, I know about that. Oh, believing in God, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, do you know how to get there yourself, or do you just know how to get there when I say it? Do you know how to love somebody when nobody else is looking and when you're at the workplace and there's no worship team helping you remember to stay focused on Jesus during that moment? Do you know how to get there by yourself? Or do you have a brand of Christianity that says, I'm great at sitting in the back seat and letting someone else take me there? See, Christmas is this amazing gift where God gives us the chance to start a new life in him. But having the right to be children of God is very different than the experience of being children of God. You can have the right, you can know about the love of God, but you can be a person in this room right now who does not know how to love like God. You can have a lot of information. Randy, I'm jumping all over you. I apologize. You can just go to that slide you're on. You can have all the information about the love of God, but no experience of it. So I want you to take a moment and let's pretend you and I are all up in heaven talking with the Father God who's got to figure out how to do this. I want these people to not just be creations in my world. I want them to be children in my family. I want them to become like me. Jesus, I'm going to send you down to earth. I'm going to send you down to save the world. But if you come as a man, if you come as a king, if you come as a warrior, if you come down and prove all those religious debates who's right, because we all want that, if God was God, he would just prove it. If you come down that way, what are we going to accomplish, Son, Holy Spirit? What are we going to accomplish if we do that? You know what we're going to accomplish? We're going to accomplish a bunch of people who just passively sit in the back seat and say, yeah, yeah, do that, God. But as God has this conversation, Lord, I'm not trying to pretend I know exactly what you do or how you do it. But what if he said, I've got another idea? What if you don't come as a warrior? What if you don't come as a king? What if you don't come as someone who everyone can just passively follow? What if you come like little Kaleche here? What if you come this big, this helpless, this in need of nurture and care? What if, Son, what if you come in such a way that people have to choose to actively care for you, to actively nurture you, the God of all the universe right here, and somehow I have to make sure I care for him right now? What if the most brilliant thing God has ever done was come in the form of a newborn baby? Because he knew we're so prone to think we know how to love. We're so prone that we think we know what God does. We're so prone to think I'm already doing right and I don't love and I'm not selfish. What if God did, in his brilliance, in his absolutely amazing grace, what if he said, the only way I can ever show you that you need to learn to love is to come in the form of a little helpless child that you've got to take care of? Now, you know what? Cornerstone has had 22 newborn babies this year. That's like almost every other week, okay, at our church. We're just a baby factory right now, which is really awesome. And if you talk to mom and dad of these newborn babies, wow, is their world getting turned upside down? You know, I remember when our first Rachel was born, I thought I was a loving person. But I had a few exceptions in there. I had a few base assumptions that Rachel, as a newborn, didn't seem to think were all that necessary. Like, oh, I don't know, sleep, you know, that would be nice. Now, of course, my wife is thinking, what are you talking about? I'm the one who got up with her all the time. So I know. So credit to my wife, not me. But you know what? It seems pretty logical. Oh, yeah, I'm very loving. How loving are you at 3:00 in the morning when you've got 45 minutes of sleep in a row? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, well, how loving are you when you made plans and then your baby decides to get sick and you can't go anymore? Oh, wait a minute. You mean I can't just do whatever I want? You know, the world doesn't revolve around me. Maybe some in the most basic ways I thought the world worked. Kletchy's like, what is going on around here? Could it be that God knew we didn't know how to love and we had to be confronted with the very fact and the way he did it? Yeah, sometimes I look at me too and I cry. It's okay. See, now I have to learn to take care of him, and I don't have any idea. Oh, you're going to mom. You are so going to mom right now. It's okay. Look over. You're doing great. You have done great for me. Thank you so much. But we're not going to put you through this anymore. You did terrific. Oh, you're so good. Itomgi, thank you so much. Akena. Can we just say a very light applause? Thank you. So, Kaleche, thank you, buddy. You did great. You're so terrific. What if the most brilliant thing he ever did was that? What if God said, maybe you need to learn to handle what you don't even know you don't know how to do? And so let's think about it. The God of all the universe, who is going to rule and reign whether you take care of him in your life or not, says, you know, not only do I give you the right to learn to love, but I'm going to come in your life in such a way that you're going to have to actively get in the front seat and take care of this relationship with me. And you know, we've got to admit it, we're all very prideful in this place. And there are a lot of times our pride shows up in the way we talk about Christ or demand of him what we're entitled to. And we're like, well, if God was real, why doesn't he just do that? Well, if God was real, why didn't you do that? You know, and we're kind of like in our pride, we say those things because our assumption is since he's the master of all the universe and nothing exists without him, well, if he really was there, then why didn't he just change all this? Well, you know, some of the scriptures tell us that the foolishness of this world is what God uses to confound the wise. God uses, his ways are higher than our ways. And one of the amazing things about grace is that God gives us himself in ways that require us to take care of him. Is it really us taking care of him? No, he's taking care of us. Are we really finding him? No, he's finding us. You know, he's really, but there's this divine tension that says, while he's the sovereign of all the universe, I'm still responsible to let him live in my world. I'm the one who's responsible. Not my parent, not my church, not my grandparent, me. I have to take care of him in my world. Because if I don't take care of him in my world, he will cease to exist in my world. Will he cease to exist? No. He's the God of all the universe. In one day, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow to who he is. But in your world, you can let him die. You can let him die in your world if you don't nurture and care for who he is. Is that because he's a weak God who needs your help? No. It's because he's a God who knows that you're so blind and hard-hearted, talking about myself too, that every assumption I think of what love really is, I'm going to learn I've got so much further to go. I'm going to learn how self-centered, how selfish. I'm going to learn that his love is so much more, and I have an opportunity to be part of a love I couldn't even possibly imagine. He comes in a way to give me the experience of him, to invite me out of the back seat and into the driver's seat in my relationship with him. That is absolutely amazing. And I would say pretty brilliant. Pretty brilliant for the fallen, sinful, blind-heartedness that we have. And so I just want you to think about that as we get ready to go into the final days of Christmas. He comes as a baby. There's three types of people. I think you have different ways to apply this. It's the last slide there, if you'd help me out with that, Randy. First of all, some of you are very undecided about Jesus in this room. You know? You've probably seen good and bad in Christianity. So it's like, well, I don't know about that. I just want to encourage you that you got to catch a tension in this. You got to catch a paradox that the God of all the universe is coming in that same form into your life. It feels that small. It feels like you're the one always taking care of God. Like, I'm trying to keep this relationship going. Like, I'm trying. I mean, in the end, he's really doing it, but he's putting you in the front seat saying, learn to nurture this. You can't be passive about your relationship with God. You've got to care for it like a parent cares for a newborn child. I tell you what, we grow. You get taught in ways no Bible sermon is ever going to teach you when you say yes to that. Some of you, you're new followers of Christ in the last few years, and maybe you got sold the bill of goods that says, ask Jesus into your life and he'll make everything perfect. Well, we already said today, that doesn't happen. Just because Jesus comes in my life doesn't mean my circumstances, my habits and patterns, my thoughts. You know what? It still takes time to grow. And as I'm growing, I'm going to run into some moments that I get really frustrated, like when a parent has to wake up at 3:00 in the morning after they've already been up half the night and feed the child again. That's a little bit of the experience, saying, God, I thought you were real in all this. He's like, I am. Trust me. I'm showing you the end of you, and I'm showing you the beginning of me. And then here's I think, the most dangerous category out of the three. All of us people have been doing this way too long, who've been Christians way too long. Now, I don't mean that. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? it is a dangerous thing to think that Jesus doesn't come like this into a new area of life. Maybe you've been a really devout Christian for a long time, and you're really, man, you got Sunday morning down. You're like, you're a pro at Sunday morning. You could come up and do this, all right? You could just come, I know how this goes, I know what to do, I know the words to say, I know the scriptures say. Maybe you do that. How your finances look with the Lord? How does your job look with the Lord? How are you dealing with those people in your family who are not that easy to love? Is there a part of your relationship with Christ that's just like a newborn baby, and are you tempted to ignore that and just go to all the stuff you're good at with Jesus? You say, no, you know what? This part of my relationship with God is like feeding a newborn baby. It like is constantly crying, and I'm constantly taking care of it. I don't feel like it's ever getting better, and it feels like forever. Yeah, don't run from that. Don't run from that place where Jesus is coming into your life in a new way. Don't get old and stale. Let the new life of Christ keep growing in you and say yes to that part. That is the amazing grace of God. I mean, I can't even get my head around how brilliant, humble, and all-powerful it is. But that's what he's doing in your life and mine, and hopefully that's what he's doing through your life and mine. Some of the ways you're loving people around you, just like, hey, want a helpless baby? I don't know that you can handle this yet. Yeah, you know, by his grace, that person can, as you continue to say, let Jesus be born in you. I'm going to finish up by inviting the choir to come forward, and they're going to sing part of a song that we're all familiar with, What Child Is This? And they're going to move into some worship with it. And as they do it, I just want to invite you to think about, I don't know what category you're in. It's like, Jesus, I don't want to celebrate Christmas and not recognize what Christmas shouts about what it is to know you. And as you do that, may you, like the humble shepherd's heart, may you say, Lord, welcome. Welcome and help me to grow and learn. Help me to nurture how you're coming into my world, into my life in new ways.